Welcome to Hour 2 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. Our phone number is 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. Flat Earth Brian says 25,000 immigrants went to Fort McCoy up north. Dion the non-voter says, the structure of government should be reformed. We should limit the term limit of the Supreme Court. They should be voted in just like the president, and the power of the president should be limited, and they should only serve one term. Deion, literally none of that is going to happen because of people like you, because you don't vote. Brian the Flat Earther's thumbs are busy this morning. He says, nah, we can't trade mob rule for compartmentalized rule. Our black ideas, as T. Lowe routinely says. If they do away with electoral college, that further diminishes black society to a fault because majority rule bypasses black needs and treatment of us because we do not have the numbers to affect fair treatment specifically to us black ideas, LOL. There are places where African Americans have a numeric and democratic majority. Do we use it? We technically have one in the city of Milwaukee. Now, I don't know the details and facts and figures of our eligible registered voters, but there are more African-American people in the city of Milwaukee than in any other race. And do we use that to our advantage? Nah, I don't know. Let's talk to Alan. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? I'm enjoying. Hey, what's your favorite cookie?
Chocolate chip.
For real, man. That's what I got right now. Chipsters. I was outside cutting my lawn, you know, no more May. Three cuts already. I got three cuts already in. But the thing is, I had to give my dog a bath then too, and that little rascal was nipping at me, but now he's not stinking anymore. You know what? I do agree with you. I got to say this. That was kind of a segue, if you will. I agree with you about two things. One is, the government's out of control. They've weaponized the justice system to just limit speech on both sides. This thing on the college campuses, it's not organic, man. You know, there's no way that sprung up. They all got the same signs. It's the same. They're trying to split the country, and they're pretty much doing it. The guy in charge, he's not in charge, right? He opened the door to, unlike Obama. Obama had some control of his mental faculties. Might not have liked the guy, but he didn't get us into a war. He did all right on that end. What we're dealing with now is dangerous. The weaponization of the justice system is unreal. Whether you like President Trump or not, common sense is telling you, man, this is unreal.
Alan, not, do you know that it is in charge. Donald Trump's 2025 plan to do exactly what you are railing against, weaponizing the justice system?
He's going to gut. Long ago, there was a guy named J. Edgar Hoover. I got to go. Read about what he did, right? He had files and everything. That's how he stayed in power. The dude helped whack a president, man. And, you know, the guys who done that are still floating around in D.C. They whacked everybody from my generation who would have led. They whacked Malcolm X. They whacked Martin Luther King. They whacked the Kennedys. When they couldn't get them, they whacked Hoffa. Then they sent all the white guys and black guys who couldn't afford college, went to Vietnam and got whacked. Then they brought dope and free love in, and they took God out of school. And what do we got now? We got a whole bunch of people, a couple of years older than me and my, you know, boomers, who got no clue what to do. They got no clue. And when the system does remake itself, all these people who are protesting, just let me ask you this. I'll tell you, all the people who protest with their little rainbow signs, when a caliphate takes over, or when they run into the real Palestinians, you think they give a dang about the LGBTQ? Read up on what they do over there. God bless you, my friend. Oh, the taxes too. My house went up 30% for what? Unreal.
Oh, damn. Oh, thanks, Alan. That was a lot. Appreciate you.
A lot there. Yeah, well, I told you I was enjoying these coconut bars, and they got a lot of sugar, I guess.
What did you say about what?
You know, I asked you your favorite cookie because I went to the Family Dollar over here in Tetonia, and I got, for $1.25, I picked up some coconut bar cookies. They're probably my favorite. My wife don't like me to have snacks.
I wouldn't eat no Family Dollar $1.25 coconut cookies, man. Those are disgusting.
Why not?
Because that's
well, you can go to Kroger's and get the chipster too. Which
tell
I
your wife to bake some cookies, man. Tell her to get in the kitchen and rattle the pots and pans.
Oh my! She's the only person I'm scared of, man. She's a good cook.
How come you never
see you
let
later,
us talk
buddy.
To her? You don't ever put her on the phone. I want to talk to her.
She don't want to be on the phone. She's at work right now.
She's not. All right. Well, you tell
she
her.
She works for the city.
The city of Milwaukee.
She always knows. She'd be like, "Did you talk?" To... Yeah, she had the city of Milwaukee. She's been there 22 years.
What does she do?
I don't want to say on air, but she got an award from the mayor. We were down there, and the mayor came and gave her an. She got an award a while ago when they put all them awards on the news.
Oh,
but okay. There was an older woman who'd been there for like 50 years.
Well, congratulations.
She got to be on TV. Yeah, she did. She got a Bucks jersey with her name on the back, you know, a real one, legitimate Bucks. And then we got, a little man came over and shook our hands and he said, "I know you," to me. It was kind of cool. And then we got looked at by a lot of people, but our older woman was up on top and she even called, you know, she called and told me, she said, "Hey, you know, Mr. Beckman, I saw your wife got an award. I was going to come down, but she was kind of busy." So that was nice of her too, you know.
None of it matters.
You
if she
get
can't
along
bake you no cookies. She need to go bake some cookies, man.
You know what she bakes? In fact, you know what we made this past year since we're talking about it? She baked the elf cookies for me.
Huh?
At Christmas time. You know, elf. A little elf-shaped cookies. Elves, those little like...
Oh, yeah, right. Sure. She bakes. Sand. Okay. That's fun.
Yeah, she's a good cook. You know, you were talking about hamburger helper. The things, when I grew up, we probably ate the same stuff, you know, because... My mom and dad never came out of the Depression, right? So no matter how much money you got, you never had enough. So we always were eating things like Velveeta cheese, macaroni and cheese. But my favorite of all the things that we could have, when mom would ask me, she'd say, "Ellen, what do you want?" I'd want tuna salad with the macaroni, the tuna, whip, you know, the whip, Miracle Whip, celery, some onions in there.
Yeah.
Guess what Ty made the other day for me out of the blue? Because I don't eat meat on Fridays because of the Catholic thing.
She made the tuna casserole.
She did a whole bowl of it for me, like a big thing. She gave me a big spoon like I was King Vitamin or something from the old commercial.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, she really loves you.
That's pretty
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, it is.
She does love me. That's what's wild. It's crazy that, you know, because I'm kind of zany. But she'll get a little nervous some of the stuff I'll pull sometimes. But, you know, you always got to beat her. You got to be, life is theater. This is something to take. And if I didn't teach my kids anything else, they don't particularly feel. But I taught them, you know, you should always have fun.
Yes.
Always have fun.
Gotta have fun.
What I told the kids to do. Fun should be the operative thing in anything we do. It should be the modus operandi for you. Calling you is fun. Listening to you in the morning is fun. I do not like Kelly and... what's their name in the morning, though? They get a little bit too...
That's the greatest morning show on planet Earth.
No, the greatest morning show... the greatest morning show on planet Earth would probably be the reruns of Charlie Kirk.
I don't know who that is, man.
You know who that is?
He
tried to replace Rush Limbaugh. He's not quite as good.
Okay. Thanks, Alan.
But he goes, he's all right. He's decent. Yeah, we covered a lot of ground, buddy. Thanks for being nice.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for calling.
Hey, listen to my dog here. Come here, buddy. Come on out. Hear that?
He's going to bite you.
He's mad. He don't want to come out of his room because I gave him a bath. Remember when you were little and you didn't want to take a bath and your mom would make you?
No. I never.
It happened.
Okay.
Man, I got in trouble for that because I'd hide. I didn't want to take baths. But for some reason, I was scared that there was a monster going to come out of the drain. Which I never heard of a drain monster.
The monster should have been afraid of you, but Alan, I got to go now. I do have to go.
You know they are. You know who's afraid of me? Like a guy in front of my house. Who do you think you are? I knocked on the window because they were selling dope. He said, "Who do you think? What are you doing, old man?" I said, "Blank, blank. I'm the thing that was under your bed when you were little. Glad to meet you." That's a great line right there. The other one I used. Oh, you remember the thing your mama told you, the thing under your bed, you'd be scared to get out of the bed?
Mother never told me that.
Well, there was a thing in the closet. Maybe it was a white thing. We all had things in the closet. But anyway, I put the fear into the goblins. Let's put it that way. They don't They don't want too much to do with. Every now and then, you got to let somebody know who you really are. Forget about the suit and tie. Let's party. All right, my friend. Have a good one, man. God bless you.
It doesn't matter what I'm discussing. I mean, it matters a little bit. He kind of was on topic, but he bought some dollar store cookies. His wife made him a bowl of tuna mess, and we heard his dog barking, and he didn't want to take baths as a kid. This is why we can't have nice things. It's why the government will never get reformed. Because that is what this show has become. I get here early. I read stuff. I take notes. And then I get here. And this is what happens. Okay. I got to take a break. We're going to get back on track on the other side, right? Okay. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Research Center looked at a broader series of questions about the U.S. political system in surveys conducted in June and July last summer. Overall, Americans broadly distrust the system and question whose interests it's serving. Oh, we know whose interests it's serving. Come on, Americans. Now, this next part is where I take a little bit of disagreement with the majority of the American people. It says, for example, only 4% of Americans think the political system is working extremely or very well. I think it is working extremely or very well. But it's just not working for you. It is working extremely well for them. You know who it works for better than anybody else? A lot of elected officials. Now, let me be clear. Some elected officials are doing it for the right reason. They genuinely, deeply have a care and a concern for people and for our society, and they want to be as helpful as they possibly can. Like, that is their passion. They're motivated by their willingness to sacrifice their time, a lot of their privacy, because if you're an elected official, you live your life in public. I think there are people that are willing to take that risk and make that sacrifice. It's a lot of time away from your family. If you want to adequately represent people, because you always got to be out there talking to voters and having town hall meetings and working on policy, right? It's a major endeavor. Quite honestly, when you think about it, an elected official is a trade, but for some reason, y'all don't mention that one. But I think the system is working very, very well for the people it was designed to work for. The people that worked in the first Trump presidential administration, they weren't loyal to him. Like, y'all need to see that for what it was. Now, there was some loyalty, but most people wanted to work for him so they could take advantage of him, so that they could make money, so that they could get a book deal, or so they could have a podcast, or so they could go into the private sector and further increase their wealth. It's working well for those people. I mean, Donald Trump wanted to increase his wealth. So I think it's working very, very well for those people. If we, the taxpayers, property taxpayers, sales taxpayers, you rent a car, you got to pay a tax, you get a hotel room, you got to pay a tax. And so we fund all of this stuff. We fund all the construction. We are the reasons why our schools have any money whatsoever comes from us. But if the people want something that's going to directly benefit them, like higher wages, you don't get that. In fact, elected officials will give themselves a raise in your face before they give a raise to the people whose income and income taxes pays them in the first place. So it's working very, very well for them, not necessarily for you. Now, there are efforts. There are attempts. I would say the reckless driving issue is one that was taken very seriously. We've spent a lot of money. We've re-engineered the streets, haven't we? You got bump outs, and we've narrowed lanes of traffic. We've done all the things. I think we have red light cameras. We were supposed to get red light cameras. I'm not sure if we have red light cameras. Somebody ordered some red light cameras for the city of Milwaukee off of Amazon. I don't know if they're coming yet. Is somebody tracking the order? So we're trying to do a bunch of things to curb the reckless driving. So that, I would say, is an issue that people in this city took and are taking very seriously, even though it is still claiming lives. That was a function of government listening to its people. So every now and again, it'll work. I don't like potholes. If I can remember the coordinates or the cross streets of a particular pothole, you know, you can call. There's a number you call, 286-CITY. Or if it's in my aldermanic district, I'll call the alderwoman. Hey, there's a pothole over here now. Got to fix it. They'll fix the pothole sometimes. That's a way in which the government works, but it works on a small scale. It doesn't work the way people want it to work on the big scale. Let's talk to Miss Rose on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Oh, dear, I'm fine. This is a subject that really hits me very hard, and that is the fact that we talk about revamping what's existing. I think that many times when suggestions are offered and you poo-poo them, just like the young lady that was talking about conspiracy or whatever the thought might be, never poo-poo it, because what you don't know can hurt you. And by you poo-pooing it, what you're doing is you're not looking into the possibility of the accuracy of things that are stated. And that's
Rose,
why
you gotta understand that people say things that are so ridiculous and outlandish and far-fetched.
To you.
Yeah, but I live on planet Earth, though. So you're right, to me.
But,
I'm a realist.
You know what? Yeah. No, you're not. Oh. What you're doing, you're an idealist of thinking that what you believe is the thing that's only possible. And that's not the truth. Men don't think the way women.
If somebody has an idea of how they want to reform government or whatever, that's outrageous and far-fetched and literally impossible, because a lot of people that come up with these ideas don't know how government even works, I'm not going to stop them. If they can institute that kind of change on their own, then who am I to stop them?
Okay, let me share something. One thing is, I agree that there needs to be a change, but not a change of making what's already in existence better, but to maybe change the whole thought process on the strategy on what the whole government is really supposed to be about in our day and age, and that is the equity of resources. That's the major problem in our society, the equity of resources. And these things need to be strategized and taught in schools from the middle, so that people are made aware of the different possibilities for existence. What's happening is, by continuing with the mentality of what's existing today and the way the government runs, that you're right, the people with the money keep getting more money, and the thing is, they don't want to, they keep taking, they made their money off of the people at the bottom. And they don't want to give back to them by paying more taxes on what they're making, because the thing, the mentality of our society is, if I make it, I can keep it. Not when you made it, taking advantage of people and laws and all these. It's the mission of the government has to change on what it's really about. And with all the different cultures coming into play, that way there's going to be a different way of looking at something. Because right now, everything's based on the old white male English mentality. But that whole thing needs to be revamped on the thought process to change government. That's not going to be an easy thing to do. It has to be done in steps. Basically, let's start at the very bottom where the people are affected the most. And that's where moving problems are, because you, the closer you are to the people that you're dealing with, those are the places where you need to be, make the biggest change and then work it up, I believe. But I never put through any thought process, but I'm taking consideration of the possibility. What you might think is idealistic or not realistic is because you're not exposed to things. I'm going to say something I normally don't say on a general thing. Men do not have the capacity to see the end, basically, what the male mindedness is. And women have a different way of looking at things. That's why when men poo-poo things like that, they're only looking at from what they've been exposed to. And that's why it's important that all positions need to be explained, because then you will poo-poo the things that you've done before then. A lot of things that you and I, we've all done things because we didn't have the full information. And when we get the full information, we have to change our thought process. Right. And that's not what's happening.
We're going
to
change the thought process. That's what I got out of this. Thank you, Ms. Rose, for that call.
Because you weren't listening. Have a blessed day.
Because I wasn't listening. The thought process uses the men and the poo-poo. What has happened? It used to be a respectable program. In part, these feelings are related to Americans' perceptions of elected officials and their reasons for serving. 7 in 10 Americans say ordinary people have too little influence over the decisions members of Congress make, and majorities say that large employers in their districts, lobbyists, and special interest groups and wealthy donors have too much influence. I could take the teachers union. MTEA has got a disproportionate amount of influence over that board and also over the superintendent, sometimes defying the best wishes of a community that is heavily, heavily, heavily reliant on the quality of education that young people receive. The district was under a consent decree because the Obama administration sued the Milwaukee Public School District. This is back in like 2014 or 2015, because the suspension and expulsion rates and the disciplinary policies were so overtly racist. The federal government came in and required instituted changes in the discipline policy. What we learned this year is this was as of probably what, April? Maybe March, 16,000 students had been suspended for whatever reason at the Milwaukee public school system. And then even verified by, remember that guy? I can't think of his name. He called in and talked about, and he was proud that he was an MPS administrator or assistant principal, and said that they suspended 20 or 30 kids. And for me, that sounded like a lot of kids in a year. He said, no, that was a day, because if a kid looked at a teacher funny, they would suspend them. So in the first 3 or 4 months of this year, the district had suspended 16,000 kids, 80% of them black. So we can go one of two ways with that. And remember, this is a district that is under a consent decree from the federal government, because it was found 10 years ago that the discipline policies in the Milwaukee public school system, you know, the education system that is supposed to be preparing Milwaukee's workforce, when black children exhibit certain behaviors, and then white children exhibit the same behaviors, they suspend the black child. And this is what Aisha Carr was trying to tell us. If we approve the referendum, and we mostly approved it by people not voting against it, not the people that voted for it, not enough people came out to vote to actually vote against it. What we did is we funded the inequity of black children. If y'all had a thorough understanding of how they prey on our public's ignorance, you would be sick to your stomach. The people who put out the press releases and the propaganda from the failing school district are not credible. They're not. Look at their output. Look at what they do with the money that they get. They're not credible. So what they tell us basically are lies. And so when they ask for money, we are funding deception. And they continue to do, oh, they're coming right back in 3 years to ask for more money. And y'all probably going to say yes. Your incomes probably are not going to go up. Your property tax is going to continue to rise. They're not going to raise wages for people in this city. And they're going to continue to ask for more money to fund a system that is so fundamentally flawed. It's broken. And I don't even know if the current system of education we have in this city is even reformable. Because where would you begin? It is controlled and dominated by a union that won't, and its members, here's the best part about it. If you need to know one thing about how we are failing at educating our young people, the people that work in that system unless they send their kids, you'll notice, oh, I send my kid to XYZ middle elementary Montessori, the Montessori, like the best of the best, these new and innovative approaches and this new fantastic education paradigm and pedagogy. That's where teachers and administrators send their kids. But you know who really needs those innovative methods and this new pedagogy? People that live in 53206 or 53210 or 53218 or 53224. But the teachers and the administrators, if they're going to send their kids to a Milwaukee public school, they're going to take seats away from people that whose children need the education the absolute most. But the vast majority of them do not send their kids to the public schools or the public school system in which they make their salary. It's like working at a restaurant. You manage a Red Lobster, but you don't dare eat there. You eat at Olive Garden. They know that that school system that they work in, I would be embarrassed. I really would be. To work somewhere and then to not put my money where my mouth is. To be proud of their job and be proud of their career and to watch their pensions grow and balloon, but would not dare send their children to those schools because they are making sure that those schools are for your kids. And fundamentally, this is like self-preservation, right? Do you think that some of these teachers and administrators who are just suspending and expelling the kids, and maybe some of the kids deserve it, a lot of them probably don't, because these kids are, you think that we're frustrated, the kids are frustrated too. Kids know when somebody cares about them. Imagine that. These kids are going into a hostile environment, and this is what we are funding to try and educate them so they can lead this city in the future. They don't want, this is the bottom line, like this is the most fundamental thing I can say to y'all. They don't want your kids competing with theirs. Do you think that they're going to provide an education that is superior to what their children are getting? Never. And so a lot of them will send their kids to various private schools, and we have laws on the books, and it's been deemed constitutional that if you want to send your child to a private school, you know, where a lot of, I mean, even our elected officials, Mandela Barnes went to voucher schools, went to private schools. Chris Larson, the chair of the Democratic caucus in the Wisconsin State Senate, went to a private school. A bunch of them went to private schools, but you can't go. Just look at that hypocrisy just for a second. You've got people that have run for the U.S. Senate, that have been lieutenant governor, that have served in the state assembly, that can credit their private school education to some of their professional successes. But if you want to send your kids, they will tell you no and vote against legislation that makes it easier for you to send your kids to where they went to school and to where they send their kids. Private schools in this area is the last bastion of segregation. They don't want black kids in the same schools, in the same classrooms with your kids. We diminish the professionalism of the classroom. See, black kids are to be suspended and expelled, to be rid of. But every third Friday, they count the black kids and they base their budget off of that. Then after that, they kick them out of school. So if you have to know one thing, why would white people, even well-meaning good white folks, and there's a bunch of them, there's like 78 or 90 in the city. There's a bunch, and they go bowling. They play softball. They're very good. They still don't want their kids to get an education that is less than what your kids get. There's no way. They want the best for their children, meaning these black kids can't outcompete my kids. The worst thing that can happen to them, these are well-meaning white people that are very, very nice. They don't want their kids working for yours. That's a failure on their part. And do you know how far they will go to prevent that from happening? They do not want black children to get a better education or even the same education as their kids, because here's what we have found. It's called the SHOTT Foundation. S-C-H-O-T-T, and they study education nationally, but they focus on black boys. They found in states where African-American populations are low, so low that you can't segregate them into zip codes. You can't segregate them into a part of town. You can't segregate the black population into a neighborhood because the population is so low and they're so dispersed that you can't say, well, these are the black schools, this is the black zip code, these are the black neighborhoods, right? When black populations in states, Maine is a good example, are so low that you can't segregate the black people into one particular area. Black boys graduate at a higher rate than white boys. Well, well, well. When you can segregate the children, you can have a more powerful impact on what they learn. More importantly, you can have an impact on how they fail. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
After voters approved a referendum April 2nd to boost funding for the Milwaukee Public Schools, some were surprised a few weeks later to see MPS Superintendent Keith Posley suggest cutting hundreds of staff positions. District leaders have not granted interview requests about Posley's budget plan ahead of the first public hearing on the budget tonight. Board members plan to vote on the budget at the end of May, and they'll be doing so without Aisha Carr. While the referendum measure allows MPS to bring in an additional $140 million for the next school year, the amount is short of the district's total projected budget shortfall of about $200 million. The shortfall, an issue facing schools across the state, is in part because the state lawmakers have kept caps on school funding that haven't kept pace with inflation. It's exacerbated this year by the ending of federal pandemic relief aid, which many districts have used to hire or keep integral staff. MPS projected it would cost about $32 million to absorb those staff into its regular budget, a cost that was included in its $200 million estimated budget shortfall. Keith Posley's plan would cut many of those relief-funded positions. MPS Communication Director Nicole Armendariz said any staff members whose jobs are cut would be offered vacant positions in the district. As of February, MPS had about 300 teacher vacancies and more than 300 vacancies in other various positions. Posley's plan also falls short of the district's goal to fill most of its vacant positions. Posley's plan puts about $17 million toward filling vacancies, leaving most of the vacant positions empty. According to the budget documents, Posley's plan would cut about 16 school-based teachers and 133 teachers employed through the district's central office. Armendariz said the cuts would also include 130 school support teachers who mentored teachers and had been paid with grant funding that's being eliminated. Those staff are being offered jobs as classroom teachers, Armendariz said, helping to fill classroom vacancies. Remember that lady to call yesterday, the white lady to call and said that she was one of those support people. She was an administrator that helps teachers. And she's not in the classroom anymore because she felt, y'all heard her. She said she felt like she had more impact in helping and working with teachers. So they're probably going to cut her job, okay? And they're going to offer her a position in the classroom. Do you have any idea of how many people that work for MPS that don't work in the classroom, whose jobs are going to be cut? They're going to offer them classroom positions, and they're not going to take them. They don't want to be in the class with your kids. It used to be you only had to be in the classroom for 2 years before you could apply to be a principal or an administrator. And when I say those teachers would run away from the classroom, they sprinted like a fast. Who's the fast black man? Usain Bolt. They sprinted. Quote, MPS has taken seriously its commitment to ensure students have access to teachers, and bringing school support teachers back into the classrooms is anticipated to help with this, Armendariz said in email. Keeping in mind, they just got a referendum where they're getting more money. They should be funding all this stuff. The district didn't answer questions about the other teaching positions. Budgets for school-based staff are prepared by principals who may need to cut positions if their enrollment drops or in order to accommodate staff raises or inflationary costs. MPS Department of Gender Identity and Inclusion, launched in 2021 to support girls of color and LGBTQ students, would be gutted. Alongside the, they're going to gut the Black and Latino Male Achievement Program. That was started by President Obama. MPS had it. They implemented it. Aisha Carr was a supporter of it. Aisha Carr resigns the board. Now they're gutting the Black and Latino Male Achievement Department in MPS. And they're getting more money to do so. Didn't I just tell y'all that we just funded them to do more inequality? We are funding inequity. Let's talk to Millisan. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Hi. How are you this morning,
Phil? I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, when you were saying that they don't send their kids, that teachers don't send their kids to MPS, it might not be because of the program. It might be because they don't want their kids exposed to the other children. I know you try
exactly. to categorize
them.
Exactly. They don't want their white kids exposed
children.
To black kids. Yes, you're right.
No, not black kids, but those other kids. I think we just keep mixing that up. Black kids are learning at MPS. It's the mother ones.
What are
they
the
not.
Ones? What are the other ones?
It's not the black
Ukraine's?
Kids.
It's not?
The mother ones. The ones that have no home support. Black people give their kids home support. It's the other people who don't.
All right.
And I don't think that that's a fair assumption, because sometimes MPS teachers don't have to live in the district anymore. Remember, we used to have to live here. We don't have to anymore because there's no city
residence.
Wait
a minute, wait. You said we. Do you work for the district?
No, I don't work for the district. I said we because I feel like I'm part of them.
Okay.
Because I know what they're going through, trying to be always accused of being the problem of the city when there's other issues that I think are the problem.
Listen, I'm actually giving you, if you listen, the details of what the problem is. They asked for their second referendum in 4 years, and they are gutting things that are designed to support black children. You know, the first thing they did after the referendum passed is they removed all of the social workers and the emotional support people in the 53206 zip code where those children need it the most. And so all I'm trying to illustrate to folks, because folks don't want to hear, because for some reason, people don't want to believe that a system like a public school system is designed to punish black people. We think that it's in our best interest, and we blame the parents, and we blame these little raggedy, nappy-headed kids. We have to look at the actual system itself. It is designed to punish black people. And I'm literally giving you all of the things that they are cutting that we know are instrumental in helping black children succeed, because we want the black and the brown children to succeed. I even want those, quote-unquote, other children to succeed. So what they're doing is they're getting more taxpayer money, and they are reducing the programs that are intentionally designed for our children to succeed. And if you want to support that, by all means, you can. I personally do not.
But the referendum, that wasn't enough money. That was just
a quarter billion dollars after they just got $87 million guaranteed till 2045.
All the other school districts too, Sharon, are going through the same thing.
You know, the MPS is one of the highest per pupil funding school districts in the country, which is fine. I'm actually okay with it, right? But look at the output. And you're going to say that that wasn't enough money? Well, then here, tell you what. Why don't we do this? And I'm going to take another call. So if you don't believe the referendum was enough money, and you probably could make that justification, when you get your paycheck, why don't you give it to the schools then if they didn't get enough money in a referendum?
No, I just don't mind paying more taxes.
Okay.
I'll pay more. Then cut
a little extra then out that check you got. I bet your checks is big. How much money you make, Millisan? What's your salary? Coot. Don't look how much you make.
But I came out of MPS. And I do fairly
well.
You
came out of MPS when? In the 40s?
No.
Before or after you went to 70s. World War II?
In the 70s.
You said in the 70s? That was in the 20th century. The 70s don't even exist anymore.
I know, but it was before. It was when parents, black parents, made sure that their kids learned. And black parents still are making sure their kids learn. It's just another group that doesn't.
All right, we'll leave it there, because I just think we're going to agree to disagree.
Okay.
I think you're looking at a microcosmic issue, and I'm looking at a much larger issue. If you know where the black kids are and you know that this is a vehicle for their success, remove the things that can aid in their success. That's all it is. That's all it is. If you know that we are heavily reliant on the quality of education to either teach children how to learn, prepare them for the trades, prepare them for 4 years of college, or prepare them for work. If you know that this is their life's blood of success, then you poison the well. Make them drink the poison water. Why do you think Milwaukee is like this, y'all? Like, honestly, have you ever asked yourself why Milwaukee's black community is still just suffering continuously? Do you ever just stop and just ask yourself, why do these neighborhoods and these streets and this part of town look like this? I go 3 miles away and it looks like the streets are paved with gold. You ever just ask yourself why that is? And because we don't want to think about what the real reason is, we just blame black folks. Oh, we're lazy. We need to apply ourselves. We need to do more. We need to. It's our fault. No, it's not. They want you to think it's your fault so we don't focus on what the real issue is. NPS launched the Black and Latino Male Achievement Program in 2017 with the intention of boosting attendance rates and reducing suspensions for Black and Latino students. Did you hear that part? They put it in the Black and Latino Male Achievement Program, which is something that was spearheaded by President Obama, with the intention of boosting attendance rates and reducing suspension for Black and Latino students. They are now eliminating that. Make that make sense. Make it make sense to me. $87 million guaranteed until 2045, and now it's got another $250 million. Let's eliminate the thing that we complain about the most, the thing that's supposed to boost the attendance and reducing suspension of black children. Like, I'm beside myself, and we over here, oh, it's those other kids. No, it's not. It's the administration. At the time, the district was under federal investigation for punishing students of color more often than white students, often for the same or similar behavior. The disparities have persisted. I'm going to read that again because I feel like some of y'all are still sitting in the back. NPS launched the Black and Latino Male Achievement Program in 2017 with the intention of boosting attendance rates and reducing suspensions for black and Latino students. At the time, the district was under federal investigation for punishing students of color more often than white students, often for the same or similar behavior, and those disparities exist. NPS is gutting the Black and Latino Male Achievement Program.
I want to hear. How is that helpful?
If we want to reduce their suspensions, and we want to encourage them to attend school like, you know, they're supposed to. And there's a program set up for that, mostly because they got sued by the Obama administration and they had to put forth some good faith effort to show that they were working on the problem that was identified by the Obama administration and how they disciplined black and brown children. Put in a program. Now they're taking it away and they have more money to implement the program. And they're taking it away. They're spitting in your face. Sometimes it's like that's a slap in the face. No, this is like spit. They hocked it. It's a loogie. They're just going to put it. Ha. And give me more of your property tax dollars. It's terribly unfair. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Let's talk to Ken. Thank you for holding. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you, Ken?
Hey, good morning. I found it ironic that the news people showed up at my house yesterday looking for Aisha Carr. And this is the same Ken that always called, the one you think that ain't a porn star. But anyway, I'm
You the dancing bear.
Yeah.
I still don't believe it, but go on.
Yeah. But I'm on the news, bro. You can see it's clearly me, bro. I'm on the news, bro.
What station? And did they interview you?
Yes, sir. On Fox 6 this morning, my dad sent me the video.
I'm going right now.
All right. Okay.
And so they thought that Aisha Carr lived at your house. This is turning into a scandal. So you a black male porn star, and they went to Aisha Carr or went looking for Aisha Carr at your house. Is you keeping her in the basement?
Hey, I ain't never seen her. So if she looked like that, I might have to investigate this Miss Carr issue.
Slow down.
What?
Yeah, they thought she lived in my house. And I'm like, no. They was like, well, what about next door? Or what about back there? I'm like, that's my garage. They're like, oh, okay, well.
Well, we got the wrong house.
Yeah, yeah. So they, for some reason, they had her down in, I guess, public information or whatever. She used my address.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm on the Fox 6 News website, and I don't see anything, any clip. Was it on the TV or was it on the website?
No, it was on the TV.
Well, if it's on the TV.
It was definitely on the TV.
It won't necessarily be on the website, and I can't watch the TV right now. Wait a minute.
Okay.
All right, well,
check me out, bro. I just wanted to let you know that.
All right. Thank you for sharing that, Mr. Porn Man.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
All right, you too. No, this might be the story right here. This might be it. Let's talk to... Look, Bob. Don't be ridiculous, and I only have about a minute and 30 seconds, so go ahead.
Well, hello, Sharon. What I was about to say is it's hard to swallow what you were saying about, you know, what white folks don't want to do and don't want us to do this and do that or get ahead, like you say. But then what makes what you're saying right is there were 74 million people that voted for Trump.
What has that got to do?
That's it.
God almighty. What does that got to do with anything, Bob?
That makes it right and understandable what you were saying about white folks don't, a lot of white folks don't want us to get ahead, don't want us.
It's not them, Bob. It's not. We got to stop looking at things in terms of Trump supporters versus everybody else that's stifling black progress. I'm more worried about the white folks that vote for Joe Biden that don't want black folks to have anything. Those are our biggest threat. Because the Trump people, we know what they're all about. Fair enough. But there are people that vote for our same political party and elected leaders that do not want black folks to be successful. I think we get fooled with the Democrat versus Republican. We think the Republicans are all racist. Not true. We think that all the Democrats love black folks. No, the hell they don't. Nobody really likes black people, Bob. Like, that's, and if you listen real closely, a lot of times black people don't like black people. But Bob, I have to go now. I just took too much of your time talking. I got to take a break. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.